Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Philippians is the book of joy in the Bible. Last week we talked about Philippians 1, in which Paul talked about his great joy even in the midst of difficulties. His joy was based on his relationship with the Lord and in the eternal life that he has in Christ Jesus. This kind of joy is something God wants all his people to have. Paul wrote to the Philippians that he wanted to see their progress in joy in the faith, Philippians 1:25. So the joy in Christ, though, is not something we keep to ourselves. It's a joy that overflows from our life that we want to spread to others, and it results in good works. God wants us to have a joy that shines, a joy that lights up the darkness of this sinful and selfish world. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And Paul puts it here in Philippians chapter 2 this way, "that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe." God wants us to be lights in a dark world. He wants us to shine like stars in the universe. And in Philippians 2, Paul shares four ways we can shine like stars. Number one, shine like stars through humility. Our actions always begin with what is in our hearts and in our minds. That's the battlefield in which we fight our spiritual war against the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Nothing changes unless God first changes our attitude. Paul tells us in Philippians 2, we need to have the same attitude of Christ Jesus. What is the attitude of Christ Jesus? Well, in one word, you can sum it up with one word, and that's humility. What does humility look like? Well, Paul gives us a good definition, verse 3. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition and vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Now, there's nothing wrong with ambition. It's a great thing if a Christian wants to be successful, if a Christian wants to be influential in their career, if a Christian wants to run for political office and make the world a better place through that. Ambition is a good thing, but God warns us against selfish ambition. Ambition that is totally focused on the self. I want to do my thing in my way so I can get all the glory for me. You see, that's pride. That's the opposite of humility. Ambition is good, but selfish ambition is bad. Humility, on the other hand, is considering others in your heart as greater than yourself, more important than yourself. Now, that does not mean other people are more important. Everyone is infinitely important in God's eyes, including yourself. But humility means that, for once in our lives, we should take the focus off of ourselves and put it on other people. As C.S. Lewis says in his book Mere Christianity, a truly humble man will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. It's not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. And of course, this is where Paul holds up the greatest example of humility the world has ever seen, Jesus Christ. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature with God, did not consider equality with God something to hold on to. Instead, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2, verse 8. If we struggle with humility, and let's be honest, we all struggle with humility, we need to spend more time focusing on Jesus and the cross. It's there in his sacrificial death that we see the opposite of the pride of this world. The world is full of selfish ambition and vain conceit. Jesus is just the opposite. He is humble and gentle. In humility, he completely empties himself. And even though he is God, he becomes a servant, humbling himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. First of all, we should shine like stars through humility. Second of all, we should shine like stars by serving others. Once again, Paul gives us a good definition of serving in verse 4. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So serving is looking out for the interests of others. It's looking out for the needs of others, meeting their needs. Now, some people think we should meet our needs at the expense of meeting our own needs. Some people think that the Christian way is to ignore our own needs, and that is not what the Bible says. It says, first, you should look to your own interests. Meet your own needs. The Lord wants us to first be able to meet our own needs. If we can't meet our own needs, how in the world are you going to be able to meet the needs of others? The perfect example is the airplane oxygen mask that, you know, the routine they go through before every flight, and they tell you first put your, in the case of an emergency and oxygen masks fall from the cabin, first put your own oxygen mask on, and then once you can breathe, you can help your children with their masks. And Paul's saying the same thing. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. We should have our own needs met. Philippians 4:19, Paul writes, "My God will meet every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." But God meets our needs so that we, as servants, can meet the needs of others. Once again, we can look back to Abraham a few weeks ago. We are blessed in order that we might be a blessing to others. The reason we serve others is because Jesus first served us. Jesus is the perfect example, and that's who Paul holds up. Philippians 2, verse 7, "He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant." Jesus is the ultimate example of servanthood. Even though he is by nature God, he emptied himself and took the very nature of a servant. Everywhere he went, Jesus served. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Everywhere he went, Jesus met the needs of people. He met their physical needs by healing them. He met their emotional needs by loving and listening to them. And he met their spiritual needs by preaching and teaching people about the kingdom of God. Now, we are not Jesus. We certainly can't meet everyone's needs, but we can meet some needs. We can do some things. We can meet needs and help by serving at the food pantry, or helping out with Operation Christmas Child, or volunteering for an event at church. We can serve the same way Jesus served us. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. So, two ways we can shine like stars. First, by an attitude of humility. Second, by actively serving. Number now we're going to get to the tough one. The next one is going to be painfully practical for each one of us. The third way we can shine like stars, summed up in two words, no whining. Philippians 2 verse 12, "Do everything without complaining or arguing." This is a tough one for Christians in the United States in the 21st century. We think grumbling is not only our right, it's our sacred duty. People love to complain. They complain in the newspapers, they complain on TV, they complain on the radio, they complain on the internet, they complain on social media, and the litany of complaints never ends. Nothing is ever good enough. But Pastor, you don't understand. The world's so unfair. Life is so unfair. My life is so unfair. Well, I won't disagree with you. There is lots of injustice. There is lots of unfairness in the world. So if we don't complain about it, what can we do? Well, there is a lot we can do. First, foremost, we can pray about it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask for God's help. That's always the first step. If you haven't prayed, you definitely shouldn't be complaining about it. And ask for the wisdom from the Lord on how best to deal with an unfair situation or a person who has sinned against you. Secondly, we as Christians, since we are forgiven sinners, have the ability to forgive other sinners. We have the ability to forgive and overlook an offense. In fact, Proverbs 19:11 says, "It is to a man's glory to overlook an offense." Isn't that wonderful? It's glorious when we forgive someone and they don't even know it. In many cases, we simply forgive that person and move on. We understand no one's perfect. The world's not perfect. We deal with it with grace and kindness and love in Christ Jesus. And as Elsa says, let it go. Third, if we truly can't overlook the situation, if for the good of our neighbor, we need to do something about it, the Bible tells us how to go about it. We go to that person personally, in person. Don't email people. Don't post it on, certainly don't post on social media. Don't talk to other people about it.
go to that person and talk about it. And when you go to that person, remember, have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, an attitude of humility, and an attitude of service, an attitude of love. God wants us to gently correct people, always helping them with gentleness and respect, helping that person see their error. If you're not willing to talk to that person about it, then you need to let it go. You need to forgive that person and move on. But whatever we do, whining is not the answer. Philippians 2, 14 and 15 is so clear. It doesn't say do most things without complaining or arguing. It says do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. The Bible says stop whining and start shining. Now, the Bible's pretty clear about this. This isn't the only place it tells us not to complain and grumble. James 5, 9 says, brothers, do not grumble against one another. 1 Peter 4, 9 says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Whining is the opposite of joy. It's self-absorbed, it's self-centered, it's just plain selfish, and it steals away the joy from our life. God wants to replace our whining with joy and thanksgiving. We have been so blessed, and we have so much to give thanks for. So Paul gives these instructions in 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Once again, the person we need to imitate is our Savior, who in the most unfair act in all of history willingly went to the cross to pay for our sins and the sins of all people. Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay for our lack of humility, our unwillingness to serve, our selfish ambition, our vain conceit, our lack of love for others, our unwillingness to forgive. Jesus paid for it all. Jesus paid the price we couldn't pay. But he didn't complain. He didn't argue. He didn't whine. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Jesus is the ultimate example of humility. Jesus is the ultimate example of a servant. He is the ultimate example of toughness, a person who endured so much but did not open his mouth. He is the one and only Savior who takes away the sins of the world. Finally, number four. To shine like stars, we need to hold on to the word of life. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. In which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Finally, we need to love, learn, and listen to the word of life. We want to live a life of humility and service and thankfulness. Now, that is not who we naturally are. In fact, by ourselves, it's impossible to live any sort of life like that. Only the Holy Spirit can produce this kind of fruit in our lives. Only the Holy Spirit can get us to let our light shine so that people might see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. Only the Holy Spirit can help us to shine like stars. And the Holy Spirit works through His Bible, His book, the Bible, the Word of Life. When we come to church, when we take the sacrament, when we come to Bible study, when we read our devotions, our portals of prayer, the Holy Spirit is there working through God's Word to strengthen us, to help us, to inspire us to live a life of humility and service and thankfulness. Paul writes in Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. God wants us to live, learn, and love the word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then the Holy Spirit can do exactly what God wants to do. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.